Blog Talk Radio.
Clayton.
Clayton.
I tried.
I was getting ready to tell you.
I tried so hard to get that N-word out of there.
Hey, at least you caught it there. You caught it
there. Yeah. Right.
Exactly. You didn't
Lord knows.
The N-part.
Oh.
Just that
that's
people go crazy.
That's so bad. We've lost listeners already. The show hasn't started. The show has not started, and we're climbing an uphill battle here. I'm sorry about the N-word, people. This is the Eric Terrell Show. We've got a great topic. We can't waste time because we're talking about why black women are not getting married. Why black women aren't getting married. We've got a phenomenal special guest to go along with a phenomenal topic. I got one of my closers here, okay? Minister Lisa Du Bois will join us in a few short moments. She's one of the closers. She's one of the go-to women. You know, when you got a great topic and you throw it to her behind the three-point line, she's like, I'm always here for you. I'm always here for you.
Swish.
Cash money. We gonna win that championship today. Now, tune in for that, because that's great. A few short minutes. This is an update for everybody, including Asia, who's back today. No longer are we doing the five things, okay? We've moved that to my morning show, Nick and Eric in the Morning. All right, now, it's all about the talk, and it's all about the topics, okay? So listen here. Like I said, we got to get going. We don't have much headlines, but I do want to quote Joe Biden, who did say that the window, Clayton and Asia, has closed for a White House bid. That's how he put it. I absolutely love how politics word things. The window has closed for a White House bid. Now, previously, people were pressuring Joe Biden and getting at him about running for president because people were such big fans of Joe Biden. And way back when, he had shut it down the first time by saying, you know, I think I just want to tend to my family. You know, it would be a strain on my family to run for president. And now, when the excitement was rebuilt about him joining the race, he said that the window has closed. Well, Joe, who closed the window? Okay. If he would have came back with the same excuse, then it would have been like, okay, well, that's a valid reason, you know, the family, valid reason. But this time he's like, oh, well, the window closed, you know. I think that Biden in his head was just saying, you know what, people, I'm goddamn tired, okay? I just don't want to. Leave me alone. Let me go back to my ranch. I'm tired. I'm tired.
It's fun too, man.
We ain't got time for all that.
I don't feel like it, you know. He had to come up with something quote-worthy like the window has closed because he's a politician. He can't just say how he feels. You know
nah,
what, people?
He can't just be like, I'm good. Nah, I'm
right. Chilling.
Yeah, hit me up in 4 years, maybe. I don't know. But I'm good right now.
You know, the workload, Obama hair done went gray. It ain't
shoot,
for me.
Man.
I don't feel like
exactly.
It.
Exactly.
No, I got first row seat to all this. I know what's going on.
Oh yeah. Now listen here. We're gonna get going. Now, first of all, I want to say, Asia Clayton. Now, hold on. Let me get my numbers. Now, I'm playing Brenda in fantasy this week. I want everybody to know that because that's that's going to be exciting. I'm going to beat her in fantasy football. And
Yeah.
Like I told my mom today, we're walking around the house scowling at each other, you know, giving each other dirty looks. And I'm trying to tell her like, yeah, I'm going to beat you, you know, for all the. I want to say the whippings, but you know, I needed those. Those whippings helped me out. I don't have anything. It's hard to just drudge up some.
Mm-hmm.
A reason to get retribution on my mom. I don't have any, but but I'm gonna beat her. I was trying to look up numbers to do the show as well, and I want to let you know, Clayton, because I was with Clayton at homecoming, that I had a hard time looking up things from quotes from Joe Biden and numbers for the topic because I was so busy hitting the quan. I decided to look up that video instead.
It's that man. I have too much to say about the Quran. We're not going to get into it because we got more important topics to cover. So I'm not even.
Yeah, you know what? I'm glad you did that because
show.
I found what I was looking for. I was trying to stall, but here we go.
Perfect.
I was looking up things earlier, and I paid a visit to the U.S. Census Bureau, okay, which states that in 2010, it's 308.7 million people in the country, 42 million black people, 13.6% of the population. Now, women like to say that there's no good men out here, or there's not a lot of good men out here. Now, there are 50.9% females of the 308.7 million. So, whereas though it seems like men are outnumbered, it's pretty split, you know, so there's men out here. But I've got news for you. When women say that there's not good men out here, well, we visited this topic early in the year when we talked about why black relationships don't last as opposed to white relationships. It was our season premiere back in April, and I pointed to education, whereas though white people, white women, have so many, it's like a pick of the litter. You know, they have so many educated men to just choose from, and it kind of is, and that's why I think white relationships last more, primarily because they have a great foundation, because a lot of white women kind of found the man that they're looking for. But when black women say that there's not good men out here, I can't say that they don't have a point, as opposed to white women, because see, first of all, if you're a black woman, you want a man who is not in jail. You don't want a man in jail. Now, that's one.
Step one.
We've got one in ten or one in five, something like that, men who are incarcerated.
Exactly.
Right. A statistic that white people or white women don't have to deal with. And then when you look at the free black men, how many of them are educated? You want an educated man to build a relationship with. And then you want a man who's single. You don't know. If you're looking for a married man, God bless you. But you want a man who's not taken. So you need a man who's not in jail, a black man who's not in jail, who's educated, and who's single. And on top of that, Clayton, on top of that, Asia, you want a man who's heterosexual. You want a man.
I feel like that would be number one.
You want a man who doesn't want other men.
Other men, exactly.
Because there's a lot of gay men. Now, I'm not against, you know, homosexuality, but I'm just saying that there's a lot of y'all. It's a whole lot of y'all. Yeah, it's a whole lot of gay people. It's a whole lot of gay people. They out here. They are out here in record numbers, okay? Mm-hmm. And you know, because they're getting stuff done these days. They're getting laws passed, and they having parades at record numbers. I'm like, Lord Jesus.
Stuff took us 100 years to get.
So, and then you want a black man who likes black women. Because there's a lot of educated black men who are dating outside their race.
Yeah.
So that's five things that are deal breakers for just about 99.9% of black women. And this is why that black men have it pretty good, because black women aren't in jail. You know, black women are educated at a much higher rate than we are, and black women are more single than we are, more heterosexual, and most of them stick to their race. Most black women, unlike black men, like black counterparts. So on top of that, black women have their own personal deal breakers. You know, they want a guy with the same religion as you. You want a guy to make a certain amount of money a year. You know, he can't have dreadlocks. He's got to live within 20 minutes of your house. This is a losing battle from the get-go. Right. Now, I'm not saying all of this to say that black women should lower their standards, because I believe everyone has a right to be as picky and as selective as they damn well want to be. Okay. Because whoever you desire is who you deserve, especially if you're young. You got a right to just cross people out, you know? Who cares? Mm-hmm. But all I'm saying is that I feel for y'all. I don't have answers. I have a special guest. I don't have answers, but I have a special guest. I have more questions than I have answers today on the Eric Terrell Show. This is just a 1+1=2 type thing. Before we bring Minister Lisa on the air, if there's anything you two have to say, let me have it.
You should let the woman go first, because this topic is about her.
Well, yeah,
her. You and your clan. You and your clan.
Well, I agree. Well, first of all, I'm going to agree with everything that Eric said. It's hard out here being a black woman. I personally would love to get married one day. I think that is a beautiful thing. And that if you love someone, that's like the last step that you need to go to be unified under God. Those stipulations already make it hard enough. I will say I've learned, I'll say by maybe personal experience, I've moved around a lot. And advice for my sisters out there, you probably not going to find the love of your life. Now, I could be wrong, you might, but it'd be harder to find the love of your life across the street, you know what I'm saying, or at your job, or high school sweethearts. And so I want to say, you get out more. You want to go away to college, go somewhere far away, or explore, you know, move to another city, get a job somewhere else, or just travel. And it might make things a little easier. I myself, I'm in a relationship right now, and I probably never would have met him if I had moved up here or had family in Florida. So I was in Florida, Virginia. I grew up in Pittsburgh. But, you know, finding somebody out of four different states is a lot easier than finding somebody in one area. If I stayed at home in Florida, I probably would, the limited of dreadheads and gold teeth and people that probably, majority of my classmates have never even left the state of Florida, so tickets are slim. All that criteria that we just said before is probably knocking out about half the state. So
yeah, you kind of want somebody who's been outside of their neighborhood. That's a good quality. That's a good thing. Someone who's been on the expressway, at least.
At least.
At least. Like, come on now. You better be there. I've been to Disney World, down in Miami, outside of state, just up there. as long as, and I will say, you know, keep an open mind, you know. Don't, like you said, you shouldn't lower your standards, but take chances. You know what I'm saying? Like, you may find out something about somebody, or if you dating along the line, sometimes they may not turn out to be the right person, or just keep an open mind, because girls, we are very emotional, and sometimes we get discouraged and be like, I never gonna find nobody, and nobody out there for me.
Right? Yeah, they do. I hear that all the time. Yeah.
It's hard, but you know, if you're open minded, if you're not even, don't even look. Like, to be honest, I wasn't looking, and that's how I met, you know, my guy. And if you focus on you, you know what I'm saying, love yourself, and just be open minded to new things. Go out and explore, go to new places, eat dinner at this place, go to the gym, go to social events.
Go to the gym. Yeah, go to the gym.
Oh, okay, go to the gym.
Nice,
hey, go to the gym. You want somebody fit.
Nice strong man at the gym.
You need somebody that's going to live a healthy life. You know?
Right. Now listen here.
That was the nicest way to tell somebody to look in the mirror. You just slid that in there real smooth. It's like, yeah, go out. Go to the gym, maybe. You know? Really, go to the gym. Go.
Maybe. Just speak it.
Go.
I don't know where you should go out. Maybe, you know, maybe the gym.
Maybe
you know,
the gym. Give them directions.
They go look at why'd you say the gym first? What are you trying to say?
No, it's just the first one getting in my head. That's the first one I thought of.
She's here. She's here. Listen here. She's the author of My Men, Myself, My God, and I love saying the title. I want to present Beck onto the show, a woman who, Asia, you're familiar with, Minister Lisa.
Hey, what's going on, y'all?
Hey,
what's up?
Hey, hi, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you for holding on.
Thank you for holding on to the phone.
You're welcome.
I really appreciate it. Now, you've got a new name, Minister Lisa Shawnee. Is that?
Yeah. That's Shawnee, my middle name, actually.
I get on you every time about these new names. Now you got so many names.
I thought I needed to be a little more professional, so I just kind of put my little street poetry name off to the side for a minute.
Okay. Real quickly before you respond, you know, like I said, you have so many names. You've been you're Selah and Minister Lisa, because first of all, you do so much. You're a minister, a poet, a professor, a counselor, youth worker, a cosmetologist, a book author. I mean, I guess you would have to have a few names, but thanks for rejoining us. Now, we've got about 11 minutes left, enough time for you to really school us. Before I ask you any questions, if you could just respond to what Asia just said and what I opened the show with.
This is almost a hard subject to respond to, because black women are so diverse in their reasons and what they want in a man, and it's kind of hard to narrow it down as a collective blanket statement for all of us. But what I will say is that a lot of reasons that black women aren't getting married or haven't been married, a lot of it stems from choice, excuse me, and then it branches off into why they're making that type of choice. You hit the nail on the head with one thing you said, education. And a lot of times black women really want somebody that is equal to them, whatever they feel as though equal is. And the equality that a lot of black women seek has more to do with, unfortunately, has more to do with material possession than it actually has to do with the substance of the man. That's probably the second thing that we kind of look at. because we're kind of that's kind of indoctrinated in us, that's ingrained in us, is the second thing we look at, because black women are brought up to want a man to take care of, not be kept in that sense, but to take care of them as far as provide and so on and so forth, to know that, because that is the way we have been reared all of our lives. Either our mother took care of us or our father took care of us, so it's kind of natural that we look for that in a spouse or a mate. And if we perceive that we can't get that out of a spouse or a mate, then that is really not the candidate for us. And so education and finances, women might not want to admit it, but that is really at the top of the list for a lot of black women, especially if you have a woman that's making money and that is educated. You know, so that's a big thing. If you have a woman that's not making so much money and she's not really that educated, then she probably will pick or stay along the area of where she is. But I thought that was very interesting that you brought that out, education. And then on the flip side, which might get me in a little trouble, the reason black women aren't getting married straight out of the mouth of a really close male friend of mine is because a lot of them aren't marriage material. So you can't. So when I look at black women from across the board, like if I look at all of us, sometimes I think there are different levels of black women. I mean, when I really look at them, and we can't really deny, and we can't really deny the simple fact that black women have attitudes. We do. We have attitudes.
We have mood swings.
Sometimes black women come off as harsh and abrasive. Now, I understand where the harshness and abrasiveness is coming from, you know, as far as when you start really peeling back the layers of the onion, because there's just so many things going on in the black family, period. But, you know, a lot of times men find black women very difficult to talk to, difficult to deal with, and kind of always worrying about, well, what are you bringing to the table? And that's because, like I say, black women very much want to know that they'll be taken care of, or security, or at best, you're not going to be in my pocket this entire relationship, because some black women have dealt with that. So they kind of choose not to marry.
And you say,
go ahead.
Yeah, a lot of them feel like they're marrying, or a lot of them are just really afraid to settle, you're saying. And they look at what a man's bringing to the table as opposed to what they're bringing to the table.
Right. And it's in the material realm. Now I have grown up a little bit. I have raised my daughter. She's 18, about to turn 19. And I had to actually learn how to view black men for just being a valuable human being. I had to learn how to view a person for just being a person created by God, seriously, because what seems to happen is a lot of times when we meet somebody, we look at the person, we start to value the person through the lens of whatever accomplishment or whatever credentials and little creature comforts that they add to their self. If they have a house, if they have a car, if they have a good job, if they have a PhD or whatever it is, we value them that we look at them that way. And then sometimes what we do as women, depending on how much we have accomplished, like right now I'm in school for my master's degree, okay, and I'm a licensed minister. And that's kind of, that makes people a little nervous, you know. And I had someone tell me, you know, you educated and you're a minister and you got your own business, you'll probably never get married, you know. And I thought it was funny because that pretty much says to me that that because I'm accomplished, that somebody would think that I'm unattainable or I'm stuck up on myself or whatever the case may be. But I have chosen to look at people pretty much for who they are and how they treat me. You know, I'm not too much concerned. After you get a little bit older, I'm not too much concerned about what you are or aren't bringing to the table. Because if you bring your ambition and if you bring your heart to the table and I bring my ambition and my heart, then maybe we can make something happen. But that comes after a whole bunch of trial and error of meeting a lot of knuckleheads because you're looking at the wrong thing when you're trying to find the man of your dreams or the man is trying to find a woman of their dreams, you know. So,
right.
And then I think Asia said that you can't find the love. I wrote down what she said. You can't find the love of your life. It's going to be hard to find the love of your life. If you're
in
a certain area, let me tell you something. I found the love of my life one bus ride away from me. One bus ride.
Oh, it worked out. It worked out.
And it's so deep. And I knew this person in high school. We went to the same high school together, but we didn't run in the same circles. You know, and we're so deep, we are so opposite because I have a master's degree and he does not. You know, we both have our own businesses, but I have a I'm into education, formal education. His education is pretty much informal, but it does not mean that the brother can't hold an intelligent conversation and deal
That's
with
right.
me and help me on certain things. So I think women have to learn to appreciate a man for being a man and where he is and exactly what he has been through in his life before they rule him out for not having a degree or before they rule him out for not having a PhD or whatever. Because what's going to happen, a lot of black women are going to find themselves alone and by themselves just because a man does not have what they think he should have. And I think that you can find the love of your life right in your immediate circle, if you will. The problem with us is it doesn't come packaged the way we think it should come packaged because every woman got a fairy tale playing in her head, and that fairy is not going to go that way. It's just not going to go down like that. We all from childhood have been groomed to want to walk down the aisle with a white dress on. It might not go down like that, you know, so we kind of have to be open to see what's exactly coming at us. He might not be in a three-piece suit in a Benz, in a house on the hill. He might be in a PGW suit with boots on in a $50,000, $40,000, $30,000 a year job, but he might love the mess out of you. So, it's really, I think it depends on the female and exactly what she wants and what she can or cannot deal with. But a lot of the stuff that women want in men is very superficial. To me, it is. It's superficial.
Oh yeah, I definitely agree. Women look for more superficial things than men do, as opposed to common belief, I think.
Right.
Now, you said so much. Material possessions is what women look at, as opposed to what's inside the man. And a lot of times, I find that I see a lot of black women who are in their 50s or in their 60s. Who just never found a man, who are still single, and or late 40s maybe. And whereas though I put out all those things that are obviously absolute deal breakers to 99% women, you know, you don't want a guy in jail, you want a guy educated, single, heterosexual, and likes black women, but it seems like a lot of them, because they're being so picky and because they're being so so selective, which is a thing, like I said, that I do not deprecate, they end up single and then they end up single and 40 and single and 50. And the one thing more than educated, more than not in jail, more than heterosexual, that's hard to find is a man who's just single. You know, everybody's married. Everybody's
right,
married by the
right.
time by the time you turn 40,
right.
which is a dangerous trap that I find. So I don't know.
Right.
I don't know where the answer lies for that. Do you think at some point it's just too late? Should you stay on the prowl? Should you just throw in the towel?
No. Well, I don't think at some point it's too late, and I don't think anybody should ever throw in the towel. I just think it's unfortunate, you know, that a lot of women are single, like you say, because of all the stipulations in the list, and, you know, they have the list of what they got to have, what they do have, don't have, or whatever the case is. And it's so funny because, you know, I believe women who are in their 40s or 50s or 60s that are single, it's not like a man having approached them, I'm sure, or come up to speak to them or try to get to know them or whatnot, you know.
Oh, yeah,
there's
a good one that they let go. There's for all of them. There's got to be one or two good ones who just went on,
you know,
about their way.
It has to be, you know. But the problem is that they just, that's not what you want. I mean, that's not, they don't have this, they don't have that. You know, nobody is going to come to the table having everything that you want. And I know people don't like the word compromise, you know, but you have to compromise, and that doesn't mean lower your standards. You know, it is a give or take. It is a back and forth. It just has to be. And I had one of my girlfriends, my old friends, ask me, and I'll never forget this. I was in my early 20s. She asked me, what did I want in a man? And I traditionally ran down this whole entire list to her of what I wanted. And she told me, well, the only way you're going to get what you want is you have to have it already in you. So women that come to the table and say, Well, I want him, he got to have a good job. He got to have this, that, and the other. I want him to do this, that, and the third. Well, if you don't have that in you, if you can't give it to yourself, then who are you really to require somebody else to be able to give it to you? You know what I mean? It's just that simple. You know what I'm saying? So I you know, my views, of course, have changed over the course of my lifetime, you know, and
that's
and
right. Now, with whatever you were just leading into, if you could give us your biggest nugget of advice or your biggest thing that you want to leave with women specifically, whatever you want to leave with black women. We've got about a minute left, so we want to close this episode and close this segment, which you've done so well.
The biggest advice that I could give to black women in regards to looking at men or looking for men is, before you examine the man in your life or the man is approaching you, examine yourself. Examine yourself, examine your qualities, and examine exactly what you're bringing to the table, because you might find that you're the one that needs to step up your game. Seriously. And that's just it in a nutshell.
Now, listen here. Clayton, didn't I tell you I had a closer? That's the ball to her in the clutch.
That's the goat right there.
That's the goat. You got a good topic right there at the 3-point line. She waiting for it. Boom.
Ooh,
thank
Ray,
you so
Ray
much,
Allen.
Ray Allen. I appreciate you. I appreciate you. Listen, next week we've got a sillier topic, but it's important as well, and we'll explain exactly why it is important. For those that don't know, I've got my friend Gabe. I think Clayton knows Gabe Olaya from Hampton University, and he is a weightlifting competitor nationally. He's ridiculously huge, and he's going to talk about how lazy black people stay in shape. That's what we're talking about next week. You know, it's funny because we've got a stereotype for being lazy, but we've also got a stereotype for being the most athletic, the most in shape. So we'll see exactly which one of those stereotypes outweighs the other. Next week we've got Gabe Olaya. Listen here, love is what holds us together, okay? Love is the most important thing. Love yourself. Love others, love the truth, and most importantly, love love. And it's not hard to love love. All you got to do is love God, because God is love. And God,
what'd he do?
God did it. God did it. Oh, yeah, talk to him. Thank you so much, Minister Lisa, Selah, Shawnee, every name you've ever made. Appreciate all of y'all.
Thank you.